welcome to episode 41 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Robin, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Andy, and Sandy. Savannah, Georgia, and Charleston, South Carolina are two southern cities that epitomize southern hospitality and charm. They both have something to offer every traveler: history, great food, and beautiful scenery. They each also have their own unique qualities. In Charleston, you can visit Fort Sumter and see where the Civil War started, or stroll through the markets where you can still see straw baskets being woven. Savannah is the home of one of the largest St. Patrick's Day celebrations in the country, and you might also recognize it from movies such as Forrest Gump. There are plenty of things to talk about with these two destinations, so let's get started.
The first thing I want to say is sort of why we decided to do these two cities together, because unless you're coming a long distance, you might not do both these cities at the same time, because they're both excellent destinations just on their own, and they're not super close together. Andy, how far would you estimate?
It's about a two-hour drive between.
Yeah, so you could do it.
2 hours. Yeah.
You could do it in one trip, especially if you really, that's what, you know, if you were coming.
Yeah, you could spend a couple of days in Charleston, a couple of days in Savannah, or vice versa. So they're sort of competing cities to me. Not really competing, but they offer the same sort of southern charm, but in different ways to me. Mm-hmm. And I spent a lot of time in Charleston. I spent a little bit of time in Savannah, and they have a lot of similarities, but also some very unique differences. You know, they both offer this oldie-worldy southern charm and heritage, and both have the Spanish moss hanging from the live oak trees, but there's enough difference there. So they're both worth visiting for different reasons.
I was just in Charleston recently. I grew up in Myrtle Beach, and Charleston was our go-to, like, shopping day trip mecca kind of thing. And, you know, so I went there a lot growing up. And I hadn't been in probably, like, 18 years or something, and we went back down there this spring and took the kids. I loved it. I remembered why I loved it so much then, and it really hasn't changed that much. There's some better roads now. So.
What is it that you loved about it?
So I love the history. I love, you know, going downtown to the market, like on Market Street, and I don't totally love seeing the horse-drawn buggies and stuff because I always feel bad for the horses, but I do like the historic feel, and I love Rainbow Row and the houses down there. I mean, they're just gorgeous. The houses down on the Battery. I mean, it was always something I loved to go down there and do, and, you know, imagine that I would live there. Just history everywhere you turn. You know, you're walking down the street and you see this church, and then the plaque says that it was, you know, 150 years old. And, you know, I know coming from England, that's nothing.
A blink of the eye.
Think Charleston's the older one. I believe it, the original settlement of Charlestown was founded, in 1670. So I think it's one of the older cities in the eastern United States. And yeah, Savannah, is pretty old too. They're both big port cities. Mm-hmm. And were very important for the trade coming from Europe, as well as sort of trade from around the Caribbean and up and down the eastern seaboard. I think Savannah itself was established in 1733. But you're right. I mean, just this beautiful architecture, these old antebellum homes right on the waterfront in Charleston. But I think what's really worth sort of mentioning is the difference. Savannah is all set up around a series of interlocking, intersecting squares, where Charleston is sort of more sort of winding streets and sort of different cross streets and lots more cobblestones.
Yeah.
But it's the squares. There's something about it. This green space in the middle of everything, surrounded on four sides by these beautiful old homes. Just the different colors that are used in the siding and the windows and the doors. It's just framed with the Spanish moss, sort of little statues and fountains. Sort of really sort of set Savannah as something a little different.
Well, if you've ever read, I know back in the 90s there was this book called Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. And they did tours based on that and stuff, and Forrest Gump, you know, we mentioned that in the intro. Yeah, it's gorgeous. I do have to kind of feel like I need to have full disclosure and say I've really only been to Savannah for St. Patrick's Day.
So when we get to that segment of the show,
I can talk to that very well.
I remember visiting Savannah when I was younger and thinking of it as it was really, you know, about a party. I recently got to go back and got to see it through an old lady's eyes, I guess. And, you know, I certainly see the party. You know, it's definitely there still. I think both of those cities, there's very few large cities in the United States anymore where you can walk through it and see history. There's definitely old buildings in, say, New York City or whatever, but there's so much new in New York City. Mm-hmm. And Los Angeles is a very new city, all things considered. You don't really get to see, you know, we have smaller towns all over the country that, you know, are just like walking back in time. Mm-hmm. To me, on the East Coast, Savannah and Charleston are the two that really let you step back in time. There's so much of it has been preserved, and it had such a rich history. It was such an important, both of them were very important cities during their heyday, and that's so preserved in those cities.
Yeah. I mean, Charleston, I was surprised, you know, I had always gone to the markets, and we love going there because it's basically this strip of street that have all these stalls set up, and it's all like artists and the ladies weaving the baskets, the straw baskets.
The sweet grass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now most of them are closed in and it's air conditioned and stuff. So that was a little different, but it's still a lot the same. You know, it mm-hmm. really hasn't changed all that much. And so that was really neat. I was glad that it was still kind of what I remembered. And my kids actually really loved it and they want to go back.
Yeah, and the thing with them both being historic cities, the thing I've actually done this in both cities is actually to do a ghost walk.
I would love to do that. Yeah,
it's so brilliant. Cool. I mean, they both have different. I mean, walking through this, you know, historic churchyard, 200-year-old churchyard at night, with somebody sort of telling you sort of spooky ghost stories, whether they're true or not, is really quite something. And you know, you sort of learn a little bit about the history of the place and sort of, you know, some of the heritage, the shipping heritage, and, you know, where people sort of lost their livelihoods in storms and sort of are said to have committed suicide by hanging themselves in what is now a brew pub right on East Bay Street in Charleston.
And
sort of
too.
Having a look up from the outside and you're hoping you don't see something moving in the window.
So it's funny when you mentioned too the Caribbean connection, because there's a rich pirate history there too.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, Blackbeard, yes. And there's supposedly tunnels that come from the outside of the battery through into the city where they've mm-hmm. smuggled stuff. And so, yeah, there's so much cool stuff. Like, you really feel like you could get lost in history there. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we got the Provost Dungeon in downtown Charleston where a lot of the pirates are supposed to have been held, and sort of brigands and thieves and cutthroats and sort of the city's sort of nefarious population. And that's quite something else. And it's got this beautiful ballroom above it. And there's a lot of things like that in Savannah as well. I think it's also worth mentioning, in Charleston, it's very, very popular for the number of visitors. It's been voted America's most friendly city as recently as 2014 by Condé Nast Traveler magazine.
Yeah.
And also Southern Living called it the most polite and hospitable city in America.
There's something to be said for Southern hospitality,
yeah.
I gotta say.
There is.
It's also very hot. I think it's really important to know if you're coming from somewhere else in the country to South Carolina's low country or to Savannah, it's hot in the summer. It's really hot.
Yeah. You do get a coastal breeze, though. I mean, you've got to imagine how it must have been sort of 150 years ago with no air conditioning.
Yeah, and there's tight corsets.
Breezeways. Yeah. But still, it's still awfully hot just when you're having to walk around. But you can take a trolley ride or Sandy, I know this isn't your favorite thing, but a horse-drawn carriage ride around either city and sort of experience the history that way. But if you're walking around on foot, yeah, you want to bring a lot or have access to water. Mm-hmm. And,
from somebody who's never been to either of them other than possibly staying a night on the way from Florida, North Carolina, or back, if I wanted to go for a long weekend to be able to go to the beach and to do something, which one would you choose?
I would choose Charleston and go to like Folly Beach or one of the beaches just north of the city. You have to. So there's this huge bridge. And when I was younger and I was just learning this, like, you know, 18 driving down there, they had this scary, scary bridge that was so narrow, the Cooper River Bridge. And
rumor has it that it used to lose like thousands of Brits a day, and it was two people's full-time job to go and replace
them. Oh my gosh, I totally did not need to hear that.
It was a horrifying bridge, all right?
You know, when they built the new Ravenel Bridge across the harbor, across the river there, that they actually sunk the old Cooper River Bridge, and it's now an artificial reef.
Really? Yeah. That's kind of cool.
Well, so the new bridge is lovely, and they actually do a Cooper River Bridge walk. Yeah.
And
a run. It's like a 10K. And then, you know, they have regular races, which if you're going to want to really see a city, I highly recommend doing a half marathon in a city because it is a good way to see, like, nooks and crannies.
Just hopefully it's not in summer.
Yeah, right. It's actually, like, in January, the one in Charleston. And then Savannah, there's one, I think it's in November. But anyway, so if you go up Highway 17, you go across that river, there's Folly Beach and a couple other ones. I was in Folly Beach, that's why.
Isle of Palms is another popular place.
Some
beautiful lighthouses there. Sullivan's Island Lighthouse. You can kind of see off in the distance. But let's not neglect Savannah. Savannah has beach as well. Tybee Island with its beautiful lighthouse as well is only sort of 20, 30 minutes drive from downtown Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very popular with people from that area who want to go and sort of have that beach experience. And the beach is a lovely golden sand or white sand in some places. Yeah, there's great beach experiences. Mm-hmm. A lot of culture in both places too. There's the Spoleto Arts Festival in the summer of each year. In Charleston, it gets very, very expensive. It's a sister festival to an Italian festival in the city of Spoleto in Italy that draws a lot of people to see the dance and the opera, and they have sort of world famous singers come in to perform. But if the tickets for that are out of your reach, your price range, just before that in May, there's what they call Piccolo Spoleto, Little Spoleto, which is brings in a lot of sort of regional dance troupes and choruses and opera, amateur opera singers for free concerts, usually in churches or in public spaces throughout the city, and that can be a lot of fun.
And so Savannah has a thriving arts scene as well, and you know the book or the movie The Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil is, you know, that was based on a true story, and mm-hmm. those characters are, you know, Savannah certainly has its cast of characters, mm-hmm. and yeah, for sure. And then
Paula Deen,
yes, yes, exactly, Paula Deen for sure.
Lady and Sons,
yes. Yeah. So,
we were there last weekend. We happened to see the line, what, an hour before or 30 minutes before it opened, was around the block. The people waiting to get in for a table there for lunch.
And it was, well, yeah, I think it might have actually been breakfast time. It was sort of it was probably lunch. I
bet it was hot. So it seemed like it was lunch.
Yeah, we were really dazed walking around, I'll tell you. But it was hot. But both cities have a lot in common, too. I mean, they both have a market. And you know, the sweetgrass crafts are in both places. My daughter, actually, on this trip to Savannah, had a rose made out of sweet, you know.
It was a boy that gave Ellie a rose too.
Yeah, you can totally. So that still carries down, and a lot of that, you know, that those two cities are not far enough apart that they aren't. Definitely. They have a lot of similarities.
And they're both very vibrant young cities for young people mm-hmm. as well. I mean, you've got a lot of colleges and universities down there. You've got the College of Charleston right in downtown Charleston. That sort of you have that feel for young people, and just in this historic setting, and then the Savannah College of Art and Design, SCAD. Is,
the Citadel
is
down there, too.
Yeah, the Citadel, yeah.
And the Citadel, too. Yeah.
So Andy and I just toured some resorts, and we're probably going to focus on resorts in Savannah more because we just toured them. We didn't do Charleston on this same trip. That's one thing that I noticed about Savannah that I hadn't really thought about is it really can be sort of a destination for someone who wants to get both history and sightseeing in as well as sort of a resort experience. Some of the mm-hmm. hotels... right along the river, there are really, really nice resort experiences with very nice pools. Not, you know, not extensive, all-inclusive Caribbean-sized pools, but still very, very nice. And if you're lucky enough to travel to Savannah or Charleston on business, their conference centers are fantastic with great rooms and amenities as well. So if you get an opportunity to take a conference in one of those cities.
And the thing I liked about that when we were down there is because it appeals to my frugal nature, mm-hmm. is the free ferry service mm-hmm. from the City Hall and from the area on Marriott across to the other side to the convention center in the Westin.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a great view back at historic Savannah and the river front area, and it's all free. I mean, Yeah, it's fantastic.
A lot of people pay good money to get out on a river. On, you know, if you go to Paris and you want to send river cruise, you're going to pay for that. You know, you're not going to just go out there and find a boat that you can jump on.
Yeah.
But in Savannah, you can actually just enjoy the river, you know, for very short. Those ferry rides are like 10 minutes.
Yeah, 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. But still, really nice and far better than walking when it's 8 bajillion degrees. And we mentioned it was hot.
Well, we're going back to Charleston, one of the things I do like to do, we touched on it at the beginning. Of course, Charleston is where the first shots of the Civil War were fired by a Citadel cadet from the Charleston Battery at Fort Sumter. But you can, Fort Sumter's owned by the National Park Service, and you can take a boat trip out to Fort Sumter. And it's actually a really pretty ride. It's not free. It's about $17 or $18 a person round trip. But you get to spend a good hour or so out at Fort Sumter. And on the way, you'll see some of the older forts, Fort Moultrie, the remains of it. But you'll also stand a good chance of seeing dolphins swimming past you, either as you're going out there on the boat or on the backside of Fort Sumter. And you just sort of see the conditions in which people lived 100 and some years ago. And it's just interesting to see, particularly relatively recent history that started in South Carolina, not too far away from where we are. The other thing I like about Charleston is if you want to get out of the hustle and bustle of the city, you can go and visit some of these great old plantations.
Oh, yeah.
And what's left of them.
We had, the reason I was there in April was a wedding at Boone Hall Plantation.
Boone Hall Plantation in Drayton Hall.
I was so excited. That was supposed to be my fifth grade field trip. I was telling Elizabeth before we started, and I broke my arm the day before. It was like the field trip that you talk about all year long in fifth grade. Yeah. So finally, at 43, I got to go. And we didn't get to go inside. They got married like on the porch outside. But it was still beautiful. It was really pretty.
Well, speaking of old houses, Savannah has the Juliet Gordon Lowe House, which if you were ever a Girl Scout, who she was. And that really is, it's an exciting destination to go to. I mean, honestly, when I was a Girl Scout, we went, it's sort of a pilgrimage that a lot of Girl Scouts take. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't exactly sure why we were going because I was a cynical young thing. Mm-hmm. And, it's a really well preserved home from that era. It's really just beautiful to see how Savannahites lived back then. So,
they're both gorgeous cities. Really. They really are. They're so pretty. Yeah.
So, we're running out of time. Let's talk about booze.
So, if you ever want to go to Savannah,
we're at about 18 and a half minutes.
If you want to go for St. Patrick's Day, you need to make your reservations now.
Okay, so is Savannah's St. Patrick's Day that much better than Charleston's?
I've never been to Charleston's.
Both. You've been to both.
Okay, so what's better? Which is better?
It's much larger.
Yeah, yes. It's huge. I mean, it is one of the largest in the country. I would say in the top five, probably. Yeah, I mean, and it's all down on River Street, and it's changed since I went. When I used to go, you could buy the 32-ounce beer and refill it for like $3, And now they make you buy a wristband to make sure you're over 21, and I think they limit your size to like 16 ounces.
It's a much more rarity that's covered for the Savannah St. Patrick's Day than in Charleston. Charleston's still fun, and it's centered really around the Tommy Condon's Irish Pub just off the marketplace. But it's much smaller, it's much more sort of compact and more manageable, but it's still a lot of fun. Heck, you're drinking Irish beer and just singing along with all the Irish music.
But the thing about Savannah is you can walk around with your beer.
You can.
Year round.
Yeah, I've seen dogs painting green.
I've seen
Klingons in the street eating turkey legs.
I mean, we still had like half a beer left, and I was asked if I wanted a to-go cup, and I thought, with my beer? And they said, yeah, absolutely, you can walk up and down... Is it Bay Street and then on in the River Street?
As far as I could tell, anywhere. There didn't seem to be a limit on it. I mean, they didn't ask where we were going.
Good times.
And they don't tolerate that in Charleston, unfortunately. But there's still a lot to be done. The brew scene, the brewery scene in Charleston is a lot of fun. There are some of the best known breweries in the Southeast. Westbrook Brewing engineering in Mount Pleasant is just across the river from downtown Charleston, and has their Mexican cake is whenever they announce that they're releasing that for the year, you know, they limit it to one bottle per person, and it's like gold dust trying to find that, and they've got a very good reputation. So some of the smaller ones from the Holy City, which is the nickname of Charleston, because of the number of church spires that you see. Although I once said that I'm going on a trip to the Holy City, and somebody thought I was going to Jerusalem. I said, not for the weekend. I'm crazy, just not quite that crazy. But Holy City Brewing, and then you've got some smaller breweries like Freehouse Brewing down on the Ashley River. The guy, he has a law degree, but decided one day he just wanted to become a brewer. And he's got this great property overlooking the marsh and the river itself, and you've got bald eagles flying past, and you know, he has food trucks come in and bands come into play, and it's just this beautiful setting. You know, you kind of close your eyes on the way in because you're going through a little industrial area. But once you get there, the scenery is beautiful. And there's just such, and he's actually an organic brewery. He uses all organic ingredients, no artificial ingredients whatsoever. And Savannah's the same. It's not really an area I sort of really considered much for the brewery scene, but there's three or four breweries right there, Moon River. Which has some great food and a wide variety and some guest ales. Service Brewing, which is run by ex-military personnel, and Southbound Brewing.
And the first two are actually, they're on Bay Street or like right by the river. So a lot of breweries that you go visit sort of have an industrial location. And I won't say like Service has an industrial location, but it's still right on the river.
It's only 5 minutes drive from
there. Yeah.
So you'll see like dogs there.
Super easy like to get to. Yeah. And then, you know, cargo ships.
But let's not just touch on beer. While we all love beer, I love beer, and I know Elizabeth, you do too. Mm. But there are some drinks
and
that
I love beer.
Yes, you do. for those of you who aren't just solely beer drinkers, there is, a lot of southern drinks, like the mint julep is a very southern drink that you can find all over the place, and you're going to find a lot of sweet tea. And one of the things you can find is outside of Charleston, there's actually a place where Firefly Vodka is brewed, and they do a sweet tea vodka, which you can sort of get a taste of the South. Yeah, it's not my sort of thing. I'm the exception that proves the rule. I'm the Englishman who doesn't drink tea.
In any form, right? Yeah. So yeah, there were some great breweries. So you know, with any party town, and actually Charleston has quite a scene for that as well. So if you really do want sort of a mesh between history and debauchery, I think either city can fill the bill.
Either
there.
Either one is a party town.
I stayed in Savannah on Saturday night as well on a weekend. We did a lot. Andy and I did a lot of our touring on Saturday, and he went back up to Columbia from there, and I stayed on, you know, because I'm hardcore like that. And with my 11-year-old, but you know, the market really comes to life, and it is, you know, quite a scene. And then the river as well. We actually didn't go down there in the night, but market, I mean, you know, bachelorette parties, all that stuff that's in full swing. You know, you could be in Key West, you could be at any town like that, and you definitely would get it. So
it's a lot going on from early in the morning right through the late at night in both cities. Well, a lot of the history, I mean, it reminds me of that show you just said, if you want to get torched in history, what's that show on Comedy Central? Drunken History?
Yeah, Drunken History. There you go. Yeah.
Why am I not on a show like that? There's like this BuzzFeed guy that, and I don't know if it's BuzzFeed or not, but there's this one guy who drinks like a bunch of wine and complains about something new every week. And I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, why is this job just now being invented?
I'm sorry I keep this podcast so clean for you. I think we've sort of hit the highlights of those cities for sure. Mm-hmm. And some of the, you know, some of the differences and similarities between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that was for our show this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode, or any episode really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page, find the episode you wish to comment on, or like us on Facebook at Outlander Podcast, or just search for Fly Away, or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Andy, Sandy, Elizabeth, and myself, Robin, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!